listening to The Baby Bunker. I'm your host, Amelia Eagle. On today's show, Ani Thomas is going to read us a book about motherly love because it's Mother's Day this weekend. Also, we have a garden story lesson from Ivy, a guide to finding the perfect rock for you, and we're building wind chimes. You're going to want to stick around for this. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned. There'll be days like this, my mama said. One thing my mom loves to do is garden. Does your mom like flowers? Does your mom like to grow flowers? How about eat them? This Mother's Day, bring some seeds to your mom and ask where you can plant them. Up next, Ivy tells a tale that gets us thinking about gardening.
Hi, everyone. My name's Ivy. I'm going to tell a little story called Jessie's Garden Story, written and read by Ivy. You can follow along with Jessie while we go on a little adventure. On an early summer day, Jessie woke up and looked outside to see a sunny Alaskan sky. She went outside and decided to go barefoot. When she stepped into her backyard, she wiggled her toes in the ground beneath her. What did she feel beneath her toes? Something soft? Something hard? Or something squishy? Then she took a deep breath. What did Jessie smell? The ocean? The grass? Or the spruce trees? Then Jessie closed her eyes real tight. What did she hear? Birds singing? The wind? Or the dogs barking? When Jessie opened her eyes, she decided she would plant the seeds her granny had given to her. First, she decided to go on a little scavenger hunt to find what she needed to plant her seeds. She walked over to a tree in her yard and found some leaves beneath the tree. She found a stick in the woods behind her house. She then found a worm in the ground. She found an empty yogurt container. And then she looked in the shed and found a bag of potting soil that her dad said she could use for her seeds. Jessie then walked around her yard and she found a sunny spot in the corner. She thought to herself, "This is the spot to plant my seeds." Jessie filled the yogurt container with soil. Then she made a few small holes, not much bigger than the seed in the soil. Then she placed the seed in each hole and covered them with a small amount of soil. She put the worm in the soil, remembering what her granny always said. Healthy soil is alive, and many different creatures, including worms, live together in the soil. Jessie then watered the seeds and covered the soil with the leaves she found. She used the leaves as a mulch. Mulch helps to keep weeds down and helps retain moisture. Mulch doesn't have to be leaves, but can be a variety of things like straw or grass clippings. She wrote the name of the seed and the date she planted the seed on a tag, which she attached to the stick. Then she put the stick with the name tag in the yogurt container of soil. She was careful not to put the stick in the same hole as the seed she planted. Jessie checked on her seeds daily. She made sure the soil never dried out. She also made sure the soil never was soggy with too much water. She also looked for unwanted creatures like slugs, which could cause problems on this plant when it grew. She took the slugs and she threw them into the chicken pen in the neighbor's yard. One day she could see that the seeds had sprouted and were coming up through the soil. Jesse was very excited to see this. That's the end for now. Thanks for listening.
Gardening is the loophole for helping around the house and still playing in the dirt. Ask your mom if she knows how to grow sprouts and watch an edible garden grow in days. Up next, Judy reads us a story on finding the perfect rock.
Hello, boys and girls. This is Miss Judy. I hope you guys are all getting outside as much as you can. There's lots to do outside, and here's something you might enjoy. I like to look for rocks when I go outside. Kodiak has lots of different kinds of rocks. We've got beach rocks and flat, smooth rocks that are good for skipping across the water. One of my favorite rocks is a wishing rock. You can tell a wishing rock because it has a white stripe that goes all the way around the rock. When you find one, you can pick it up and make a wish on it. It's a good thing to keep in your pocket if it's small enough to make wishes, and if it's too big, you can always keep it on a shelf. A handy thing to have, a wishing rock. Today, the story I'm going to read is called Everybody Needs a Rock by Baird Bailer. Everybody needs a rock. I'm sorry for kids who don't have a rock for a friend. I'm sorry for kids who only have tricycles, bicycles, horses, elephants, goldfish, three-room playhouses, fire engines, wind-up dragons, and things like that. if they don't have a rock for a friend. That's why I'm giving them my own 10 rules for finding a rock. Not just any rock. I mean a special rock that you find yourself and keep as long as you can, maybe forever. If somebody says, "What's so special about that rock?" don't even tell them. I don't. Nobody's supposed to know what's special about another person's rock. All right, here are the rules. Rule number one. If you can, go to a mountain made out of nothing but 100 million small, shiny, beautiful, roundish rocks. But if you can't, any place will do, even an alley or even a gravel road. Rule number two. When you're looking at rocks, don't let mothers or fathers or sisters or brothers or even best friends talk to you. You should choose a rock when everything is quiet. Don't let dogs bark at you or bees buzz at you. But if they do, don't worry. The worst thing you can do is go rock hunting when you're worried. Rule number three, bend over. More. Even more, you may have to sit on the ground with your head almost touching the earth. You have to look for a rock right in the eye. Otherwise, don't blame me if you can't find a good one. Don't get a rock that's too big, or you'll always be sorry. It won't fit in your hand right. It won't fit in your pocket. A rock as big as an apple is kind of too big. A rock as big as a horse is much too big. Rule number five. Don't choose a rock that's too small. It'll only be easy to lose. Or a mouse might eat it thinking it was a seed. Believe me, that happened to a boy in the state of Arizona one time. Rule number six. The size must be perfect. It has to feel easy in your hand when you close your fingers over it. It has to feel jumpy in your pocket when you run. Some people touch a rock 1,000 times a day. There aren't many things that feel as good as a rock, if the rock is perfect. Rule number seven. Look for the perfect color. That could be a sort of pinkish gray with bits of silvery shine in it. Some rocks that look brown are really other colors, but you only see them when you squint and when the sun is right. Another way to see colors is to dip your rock into a clear mountain stream if one is passing by. Rule number eight. The shape of the rock is up to you. There's a girl in Alaska who only likes flat rocks. Don't ask me why. I like them lumpy. The thing to remember about shapes is this. Any rock looks good with 100 other rocks around it on a hill. But if your rock is going to be special, it should look good all by itself in the bathtub. Rule number nine. Always sniff a rock. Rocks have their own smells. Some kids can tell by sniffing whether a rock came from the middle of the earth or from an ocean or from a mountain where the wind and sun touched it every day for 1,000,000 years. You'll find out that grown-ups can't tell these things. Too bad for them. They just can't smell as well as kids can. Rule number 10. Don't ask anybody to help you choose. I've seen a lizard pick one rock out of a desert full of rocks and go sit there alone. I've seen a snail pass up 20 rocks and spend all day getting into the one it wanted. You have to make up your own mind. You'll know. All right, that's 10 rules. If you think of any more, write them down yourself. Now I'm going to go out and play a game that just takes me and one rock to play. I happen to have a rock here in my hand. So that's the end of the story. Hope you enjoy going out and finding your own special rock. Let me know which one to choose. Bye-bye.
The nice thing is, while right now we may not be able to be with all of our friends, we can still go outside and find treasures everywhere. Some rocks just feel good to hold. Find a rock that's a treasure to you. But first, here's Chloe with an art project you could give to your mom this Sunday.
Hello, radio kids. Do you like collecting little treasures? Maybe some beautiful sea glass, shells, or an old spoon you found at the beach. Have you ever found a piece of driftwood you just couldn't part with? The question is, what do you do with all these wonderful items you've collected or have lying around your home? The answer is, make a wind chime, of course. Wind chimes don't have to be something fancy bought from the store. All you need are a few items you can find around the house, at the beach, or in the forest, and maybe a little bit of wind. Thankfully, Kodiak has got a lot of it to spare. This project will likely need the help of an adult, so grab the nearest and dearest adult near you and go find these items. For your homemade wind chime, you will need a frame to hang your wind chimes from. In this project, I will be using a piece of driftwood, some string or wire or line, possibly a drill to make holes large enough for your string or wire to fit through, and last but not least, your treasures. These could be sea glass, shells, beads or other beach finds, old keys, old CDs or DVDs, old chains and jewelry, crystals, old spoons or forks, washers, or even nuts and bolts. Again, you will need a frame to hang your chimes from, some string or wire or line, possibly a drill, and last but not least, your treasures. All right, listeners, do you have all these items? Great, let's assemble some wind chimes. It's me too. It's your world. Use the girl. Use the girl. Remember, for this project, I'm using a piece of driftwood for my wind chime. But you can use many other items, like a plastic or paper cup, a coat hanger, or even large cookie cutters. First, you will need to drill about 6 holes across the long edge of your driftwood. These holes will be used to attach your chimes by pulling the end of the string or wire you use through the hole and tying a few knots to hold it in place. If you don't have a drill, no problem. Just tie the chimes onto the piece of driftwood separated at equal distances. This will help to keep the frame a little more balanced. Next, you'll cut 3 to 5 pieces of string or wire about 2 to 3 feet long. The number of pieces you cut depends on how many chimes you'd like to dangle from your frame. Grab a cut piece of string or wire and a treasure. Attach the treasure to the string by tying or wrapping. You may have to get creative on how your treasures will be attached. Next, you can add some beads or tie some knots above the first treasure and then add another. You can make your chime as long as you want, just save some extra space near the top so you can securely attach the chime to the frame, or driftwood in this case. Attach your chime to the frame by tying or wrapping it, or if you pre-drilled some holes, pull the end of the string or wire through the hole and tie a few knots to hold it in place. Build the rest of your chimes and attach them to your driftwood or frame of your choice. Finally, when you have attached all your chimes to the frame, cut a piece of lined string or wire about 3 feet long. Tie one end of the line to one end of the driftwood and do the same with the other end to the opposite end of the driftwood. This will be the line to hang your wind chime from wherever you choose. A few tips. A good place for your 4 treasures to hang on your wind chime is a junk drawer. Almost every household has an extra special junk drawer filled with odds, ends, and other curiosities. Ask a parent for help and permission to see which items are okay to use for your wind chime. Items that already have holes in them work great for this project. Remember, there are no rules to making your wind chime. It can be big, small, loud, quiet, colorful, covered in glitter, or made of gummy bears. So little listeners, get out there and have fun chiming.
now, baby, you're casting your spell on me. And I said, ba-dum, 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 now, baby, you're casting your spell on me. You got me doing funny things like a clown, just look at me. Ha! With your high-hole boots and your hip-hugger suit, ha! It's all right. You're out of sight. When you wear a cute mini skirt and your brother's sloppy shirt, huh, I admit it, that I can get it. And I say, ba-dum, 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 now baby, you're casting your spell on me. And I say, ba-dum, 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 now baby, you're casting your spell on me.
Thanks, Chloe. I made my wind chime out of noodles and gummy bears. Our last segment of today's show is Ani, the kids' librarian, and a mom herself reading us a story about how much moms love us.
So this is a story I used to read to my daughter. It's called Koala Lou, and it's written by Mem Fox, illustrated by Pamela Loft. There was once a baby koala, so soft and round that all who saw her loved her. Her name was Koala Lou. The emu loved her. The platypus loved her. And even tough little koala claws next door loved her. But it was her mother who loved her most of all. 100 times a day, she would laugh and shake her head and say, "Koala Lou, I do love you." Whenever she stretched in the early morning sun or climbed a gum tree or bravely went down the path all by herself, her mother would smile and say, "Koala Lou, I do love you." The years passed and other koalas were born, brothers and sisters for Koala Lou. Soon her mother was so busy that she didn't have time to tell Koala Lou that she loved her. Although, of course, she did. Every night as she curled up under the stars, Koala Lou thought about the times when her mother had looked at her and said, "Koala Lou, I do love you."
and she longed to hear her say it again. One night, Koala Lou had a splendid idea. Preparations had begun for the Bush Olympics. She would enter the Olympics. She would compete in the gum tree climbing event, and she would win, and her mother would fling her arms around her neck and say again, "Koala Lou, I do love you." Koala Lou began her training right away. She jogged and puffed and lifted weights and panted. She hung from a branch with one claw at a time until she ached. She did push-ups till her stomach hurt, and last of all, she climbed the tallest tree she could find over and over and over again. Sometimes her mother would watch her and ask, "How you going, Blossom?" "Fine, just fine," Koala Lou would reply. At last, the day of the Bush Olympics arrived, and everybody is wearing their fancy hats. Koala Claws had also entered the gum tree climbing event, and everyone knew how fast she was. But Koala Lou wasn't scared. She saw her mother in the crowd, and she imagined her saying again, "Koala Lou, I do love you," and her heart filled with hope. It was Koala Claws who went first. Her climb was a record-breaking 22 meters in 7 seconds flat. The spectators went wild. They whistled and cheered and wildly waved their party hats. "Can I do better than that?" wondered Koala Lou. "I must." As she stepped toward the tree, a hush fell over the crowd. "On your mark," said the kookaburra bird. "Get set. Go." Koala Lou leapt onto the tree. Up and up and up she climbed, higher and higher and higher, and faster and faster and faster, until there she was, right at the very top. The spectators roared, and they clapped, and they stamped their feet. But she wasn't fast enough. In spite of all her training and all of her hoping, it was Koala Claws who had won the gum tree climbing. Koala Lou came in second. Koala Lou went off and hid. She heard the shouts of the Bush Olympics, and she cried her heart out. When the first stars of the evening appeared in the sky, Koala Lou crept home through the dark and up into her own gum tree. Her mother was waiting for her. Before she could say a word, her mother flung her arms around her neck and said, "Koala Lou, I do love you. I always have, and I always will." And she hugged her for a very long time. And that's the end.
Cowboys ain't easy to love, and they're harder to hold. They'd rather give you a song than diamonds or gold.
Lone Star belt buckles and old faded Levi's, and each night begins a new day. If you don't understand him, he don't die young. He'll probably just ride away.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
Moms are important. Give them some love this weekend. Thanks for joining me this week on today's Baby Bunker. I can't wait to try out my new Windchime. I have a feeling like Oscar might want to taste test it. See you next week.
They never stay home, and they're always alone, even with someone they love.
Cowboys like smoky old pool rooms and clear mountain mornings.
Little warm puppies and children and girls of the night. Them that don't know him won't like him, and them that do sometimes won't know how to take it.
He ain't wrong. wrong, he's just different. But his pride won't let him do things to make you think he's right.
Mama, don't let your baby